Welcome everybody to episode 35 of the Blue Skies Dronecast, the podcast by UAV Hub. This is a podcast for the UK drone industry, discussing everything from the UK regulations, new drones, and also speaking to you, the people within the drone industry. Presented this week, as always, by Tom and Adam. So welcome along everyone to episode 35. Quite an interesting subject, I think, this week. But before we make a start, we'll just say a quick hello to Adam. How you doing, Adam? All right?
Yeah, all good. Tom, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all good. Yeah, it's a lovely sunny Friday as we're recording this, actually, which makes a change. It almost feels like spring's here, but I'm sure it isn't yet, is it? It's a bit early.
It makes a nice change after the storms we've just had in quick succession.
Yep. Yeah, that was, yeah, quite a few storms, and they were quite ferocious, actually. I was a bit further south than you, and we had some very high winds. A fence blew down as well near us, so yeah, it was all go.
It wasn't too bad in here up in Staffordshire. It was windy, but nothing too bad.
South had it much worse, didn't they?
Definitely.
Yeah, so luckily we've all survived though, and we can live to fight another day, which is important. So brilliant. So without further ado then, let's kick off. So basically we're going to be comparing the lightweights. It's not me and Adam going out on a night out.
That would be a rubbish match.
It would, and it would also be quite a boring episode, I think, comparing that. So no, we're not doing that. We're going to compare some of the probably most interesting aircraft, I think, from a personal point of view. It's the really small lightweight ones, the ones that are under 250 grams, because I think that's where we're going to find a lot of the research and a lot of the development being put into these aircraft, because they are pretty special and pretty good for sort of the UK and maybe Europe as well, actually, too. So we're going to be looking at the Autel Nano Plus, and we're going to be comparing that to the Mini 2, obviously, because that's what DJI put out at the moment. And we're going to also use the Autel Nano Plus, because the specs are actually quite a bit better than the Mini 2. We're going to kind of use that to help us speculate on what the Mini 3 might be like, and we expect that to be out, I guess, this year. Is that right, Adam? Something like that?
I mean, I would have thought so. I mean, the Mini 2 isn't that old in the grand scheme of things, but the way that technology is advancing, the fact that Evo brought out or soon to be officially releasing the Nano Plus, I think it's due out in a few weeks, going to most people. I wouldn't be surprised if we're going to get a Mini 3 within 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're right there. Yeah, exactly. So that's what we're going to have a chat about on this episode. So hopefully useful stuff here. So let's first dive into actually what the Evo Nano Plus kind of has on board. So spec-wise, I suppose, really. So like Adam said, we are waiting for this aircraft. It should be released within the next couple of weeks or so. But maybe Adam, you want to sort of start talking us through sort of the camera side of it, I guess, really. So what is it carrying?
Yeah, so just so the audience are aware, we are definitely speaking about the Evo Nano Plus. There are different versions of the Evo Nano. It's the Nano Plus, the top of the range one that we're focusing on here, because I think that's actually what the majority of people will probably go for. You know, people always want the best. So the Nano Plus has a 1/1.28-inch CMOS sensor. If you put that into layman's terms, it's about 0.9 inches. Now, if you compare that to another camera that people will probably know about, the Mavic 2 Pro had a 1-inch sensor. That's pretty big. That's pretty big for, considering, if you can imagine the size of a Mavic 2 Pro versus the size of, we'll say, a Mini, because most people have probably seen a Mini, it's pretty, there's a pretty big difference. And actually, the fact that they've managed to fit a big sensor on that aircraft is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
And we'll come on to the Mini. We'll come on to the Mini 2 after this, and then we'll compare the two, actually, and there's a big difference. So it's got a 50 megapixel, it can shoot up to 50 megapixel images. Again, pretty darn phenomenal. I mean, Mavic 2 didn't do that. So it's a cracking, an absolutely cracking camera. Field of view is 85 degrees, which is equivalent to a focal length of 23 millimeters. It's about normal, about right for a drone. But there is differences between this and the Mini 2, I should say. Focus range 0.5 meters. It's pretty good, actually, 0.5 meters. You know, half a meter away from somebody's face with a drone, and you've got them in focus, if you dare have it that close. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So those are kind of the top specs for the stills photography side of things.
Yeah.
There's a few things in regards to the video. So it can shoot up to Ultra HD. I hate when they put that it's 4K. It's not 4K. It's Ultra HD. The 4K is a different aspect ratio to UHD. That's a bugbear. And DJI do that a lot. They say it's 4K. No, it's not 4K. You're not shooting 4K. You're shooting UHD. pretty good. 30 frames per second. Would have been nicer to have been more. Most people like about 60 frames a second.
Yeah.
If you're shooting PAL 50, I'm not going to get techie with that. But anyways. But it also does 2.7K at 30 frames a second, HD at 60 frames per second. So pretty good, actually, again, for about standard these days for that.
Yeah.
It's
interesting, isn't it? Because to be honest, I hadn't really looked into this aircraft very much before we sort of decided to do this podcast. And it's interesting to see that, yeah, the size of the sensor and the megapixels was much bigger than I thought was possible at the moment on that size of drone. I just assumed the Mini 2 was kind of up there with what you could get, you know, 12 megapixel, a bit like, you know, the old phone cameras, really. I thought that was kind of where we were at the moment. But no, it seems like you can pack a lot more into a small aircraft than I realized, actually, which is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, if we took out the title of the Evo Nano Plus, actually, you'd almost argue you're looking at the Air 2 or the Air 2S. if you didn't know exactly the specs of the Air, you'd almost say, well, actually, that looks quite similar to the Air 2S, whereas this is a sub 250 gram drone, not a 500 plus gram drone.
Yeah. I don't know how they've what have they done with the weight? I don't understand.
what have they left out?
Yeah, it does feel like that, doesn't it? Yeah, that's amazing. So yeah, as we've said, it's 249 grams as well, and it also has dynamic tracking as well, which I think obviously means that it's going to have some sort of obstacle avoidance and some sort of camera system, so it's aware of its surroundings, which again the Mini 2 doesn't have, actually, does it at all? It might have one camera underneath, I think, potentially, but that's really just for landing and stuff. So no, that's amazing. It gives you four auto shooting modes as well, so it's got those sort of active tracked autonomous flight modes. So you've got the rocket where it goes up vertically. We've seen that before on some of the heavier DJI aircraft. We've got sort of something called a fadeaway type of thing. So it kind of jibs up and sort of either goes forwards or backwards to sort of reveal the area and the surroundings. Orbit as well, we've seen that too, where it kind of goes around a subject at a set distance, which looks quite nice too. And also something called a flick as well, so just keeping the subject in center and sort of dollying across. Is that right, Adam? I'm not sure if I'm explaining that
properly. so from a video, coming from a cinematography background, if people understand, so dolly is if you're going in one direction, so across the subject, but the camera is panning with keeping the subject in, so the drone will fly across the subject, but the camera will be locked on and pan with the subject.
A bit like a rectangle orbit, but just one side of it, or something, I suppose, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would call it a track and dolly. If I was doing this on an old fashioned kind of, like, say, track and dolly, you'd be tracking them and dollying.
Yeah,
I just want to quickly jump back towards the sort of that dynamic tracking, which is something that was quite interesting. Is they have something called I think it's called phase auto or phase focus, where I think it looked at all the kind of, we see it on high end cameras actually, or a lot of kind of DSLRs or mirrorless cameras, where there's lots of kind of points on the screen that it looks for and then tries to work out what should be in focus, using sort of AI technology. And I think that's how it uses that dynamic tracking. So it always knows, like, okay, there's, you say, okay, follow me, you know, you select you, and then it tries to work out where you are, provided you don't go behind a tree and whatnot, it might lose you. But I think that's how it's supposed to work, which is pretty cool, again, for a sub 250 gram drone.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? Yeah, that's it. And obviously, like I mentioned as well, it's got front and rear obstacle avoidance, which again is pretty special for such a small aircraft as well, and potentially downward too. So again, trumps the Mini 2 there, I think, quite easily. And some of you now might be thinking, well, okay, great, it's got all of this, but the battery must be really tiny, so it probably only flies for 10 minutes. But no, it goes on for 28 minutes as well, allegedly too. So only a couple of minutes off the Mini 2, I guess, if you were comparing it to that, which is pretty amazing. It's also got pretty good transmission power as well, so probably similar technology to OcuSync, I imagine, because it's got a 10K maximum transmission range, which is obviously great. Obviously, we're still having to fly it within visual line of sight, so it doesn't mean too much, but within visual line of sight, that transmission link is going to be absolutely rock solid, I should think, isn't it, for that type of power, which is good too. And lastly, wind resistance as well, level 5, which I think is pretty standard, I think, for most aircraft nowadays, isn't it, too, which is good. Yeah. And if you don't know what that is, you can do a quick Google and it kind of gives you that in miles an hour or kilometres or whatever you want to work in as well. So they're the specs. I'm quite impressed.
It's an absolutely phenomenal drone on paper, let's say. On paper, it's a phenomenal drone. It's not been out in the wild properly. Obviously, there's people that are reviewing this on YouTube. People have had the aircraft to review and check out. And we'll come on to that a bit later on. But it's not out to the public just yet. There's pre-order. Some people have had it pre-ordered for like 5 months, which I think is a stupidly long time to announce an aircraft and not release it. If you're going to announce something, get it out within a few months. I think a lot of people will say, well, I've been waiting 5 months now. Well, I might as well wait for potentially what DJI are going to release. And again, we'll touch on that in a bit.
Yeah. Or at least improve on the specs if you're waiting that long. They might say, oh, actually, no, it's a 60 megapixel camera now instead. You think, oh, okay, well, don't mind too much about waiting. Yeah, great. Okay, so that's, like I said, that's the Nano Plus. So we're quickly going to now compare that to the Mini 2, and we'll start to see actually how much better actually the Autel potentially might be. So taking a step back with the Mini 2 then, I guess, really. So Adam, the same sort of specs again, but this time for the Mini 2 on the camera side of things. So what have we got to line it up against?
Yeah, so Mini 2, so in terms of the sensor, the Mini 2 has a 1 over 2.3 inch sensor. Again, in layman's terms, about 0.43 inches. Compare that to the Evo Nano Plus, 0.9.
So half.
It's half, pretty much. So absolutely huge difference there. And I'm still blown away at the fact that they've managed to pack in such a big sensor.
Yeah.
Onto this tiny aircraft. It only shoots 12 megapixels. It sounds weird now. Okay, it only shoots 12 megapixels. Yeah. But it's right, 12 megapixels is nothing compared to 50 megapixels.
No, that's true.
And we've seen this a lot with mobile phones now. This kind of, a lot of the phones seem to be stuck at 12 megapixels. Then you get some that do 50 megapixels, 60 megapixels, 128 megapixels. And megapixels aren't everything.
No.
But the fact that it can do 50 megapixels is pretty darn good.
Yeah. Just correct me if I'm wrong. Does the sensor kind of move kind of along with the megapixels? So do you need a bigger sensor for bigger megapixels or larger megapixels or no?
No, always. That's not always the case. Like you can have micro four third sensors, full frame sensors that still only shoot 20 megapixels. It doesn't always correlate. It does help, but it doesn't always correlate. The sensor sizes mainly helps the amount of light that can hit the sensor. So the bigger the sensor, the more light it can take on. So it works better in low light. So actually, the Evo 2 should, in practice, be better for low light photography than the Mini 2 because it's got a bigger sensor. Yeah. The bigger the sensor, the better it is in low light.
I see. So the bigger the sensor doesn't mean it's going to be able to get more detail. It just means more light. Bigger eye, I suppose. Something like that, isn't it? I guess is what
that's,
you could say.
Yeah. That's pretty much, putting it down to its most basic terms.
Yeah.
Yes.
I see. Awesome. That's good. So also moving on, the field of view looks to be fairly similar.
Fairly similar, yeah. So 83 degrees versus the 85 on the Nano. So you do get a slightly wider image on the Evo 2 the Evo Nano Plus versus the Mini 2. So depends on that, what your thoughts are. Wider is usually a little bit better with most drones. That's the traditional kind of look, is a wide angle lens.
That's cool.
So you've got that.
Yeah, it looks as though then we move on to the video side of things. And actually, it looks like maybe the Mini 2 is a little bit better on the video front, actually, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it does trump it a little bit. So, again, bugbear, you'll see on DJI, they say 4K. It's not true 4K, it's UHD. They do 30 frames per second. But then they do 2.7K at 60 frames a second, which is a nice bonus over the Nano Plus. Something that could be, I think, done through a firmware upgrade anyway, so chances are there might be a firmware update that does allow the Evo 2 to shoot at 60 frames per second at 2.7K, and it also does 60 frames per second at HD as well. So, yes, so the DJI Mini 2 is winning on one front so far. The aperture, I think we might have skipped this over slightly on the Evo Nano. The aperture on the Mini 2 is 2.8 versus 1.9 on the Evo. So again, better in low light for the Evo. So if you are doing nighttime photography with your drone, Evo 2, I keep saying Evo 2, Evo Nano Plus trumps the Mini 2.
I see. Yeah, cool. That's great. So that's all the camera specs then. We've also got the weight, obviously, again, very, very similar to, you know, within the 249 grams or 250 grams, and could be lighter depending on what you've installed and what you've not put on and things like that too. So very similar in that respect too, which is good. No tracking, though. It doesn't do active track. So that's, again, due to the fact that it doesn't have any kind of front-facing collision sensors, because I think it uses those sensors normally to do the active track side of things, or help it along anyway. It does have its own shooting modes then. We won't go through these in much detail, but it does do the typical moves that you expect. So it'll do the droney as it pulls away. It'll do the helix as well. So that's kind of like an orbit, but it goes up as it goes too. We've got the little cat there joining you, Adam. Tried to hide it, didn't you?
For the YouTube viewers, you've just seen the cat go past.
There we go. Yeah. You've got to watch it on YouTube now. That's what it's all about. It also does the rocket as well, which is very similar to the Evo circle, which again is like the orbit too. And the boomerang, is that right? I've never heard that one before.
That might be a mistake on my. I think it's supposed to be boomerang.
Okay.
The notes say boomerang. It's boomerang. It's boomerang.
I think we should call it boomerang. I think
it does sound better. It sounds posher. The boomerang. I'd like to have a boomerang shot.
Higher class of drone shot there. That's brilliant. We'll put a patent on that, I think. Yeah, so very similar to an orbital and droney sort of mixed together as well. Obviously, can do a panorama as well. So I don't know. Can the Nano Plus do that? Maybe it can't, potentially.
There's nothing that I saw in the specs that, that is a feature. So obviously, with the Mini 2, it can do the... It stitches a panorama in within the camera itself.
Yeah.
Whereas I can't see anything to do with the Nano Plus where it does do that. Now, there's nothing stopping you doing... You can do a panorama with the Nano. It's just you'll have to manually stitch the images yourself in post-production, which a lot of people do anyway, especially if you're shooting RAW. You can't shoot a RAW panorama in the Mini 2. It's only JPEG. So it's still something you can do, but it doesn't have that nice feature where it just does it automatically, as far as I can see.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. And obviously, like we mentioned before, the Mini 2 doesn't have any obstacle avoidance whatsoever, which, you know, again, nowadays, most drones, you know, you almost expect that, to be honest. And I think because it is aimed at the sort of beginner audience, potentially, that would be quite useful, I think, really, wouldn't it, actually? So I think the Nano Plus has
I think it should be standard if, to be honest, on any aircraft, especially these ones that are supposed to be aimed at consumers, novice consumers who don't need to do any training. It's like, well, actually, you want that fail safe. They're not going to accidentally fly it into somebody's face.
Yeah, you want all the help you can get, I think, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah, so I think we will start to see that a lot more moving forwards.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and like we mentioned as well, the flight time is a little bit better on the Mini 2, 31 minutes versus 28 on the Nano Plus, but again, very similar with that. Same transmission distance as well, 10K, which is obviously going to be the same technology or a very similar technology to both of them there. And also the same level wind resistance as well. So so you can see actually the drones themselves are pretty similar. It's just the Nano Plus seems to have got a slightly better camera and a larger sensor. So I guess it depends maybe where they kind of source them from or something. You know, it almost makes me think of the iPhone and sort of Samsung, because obviously iPhone are still kind of rocking the 12 megapixel, I think, aren't they, pretty much? And Samsung have gone much higher than that. So it sort of seems the same sort of, you know, which one do you go with?
I think DJI... They do, yeah, I suppose it is quite a good way of looking at it, sort of, you know, the Apple versus potentially the Samsung, where I think you get the likes of Samsung that do I would say innovate quite early. They'll, you know, obviously we've got folding phones. You know, they'll try this. You know, they'll try different things quite early on. Whether they get widely adopted or not, you know, that's up for debate. And then Apple will kind of take those on board, and very much so, they do it very nicely. And you know, and then adopt it into their platforms. Whereas Samsung, I think, do take risks a lot more, a lot earlier on. And I think we're seeing this actually with Autel. You know, they are. They're throwing everything at this, and yeah, if, I say if you look at this, you look at compared to the Mini 2 as a comparison, you go bloody hell, the Mini 2 looks like it's about 3 years old now in terms of technology. And you're like, why is it only shooting 12 megapixels? Why is have only such a tiny sensor size? Is this the are we looking at the Mini 1? No, we're looking at the Mini 2. It's, you know, so there's a bit of catching up to do, I think, in terms of technology here.
Yeah, I reckon maybe they. Almost had that market to themselves, didn't they, for a bit, I should think. And they probably thought, as long as we can get a camera on a drone that can fly for half an hour and it's under 250 grams, you know, we're winning. And then suddenly Autel come along with you know, other ideas, and that might actually push DJI to spec out the next model even more so. And I think that quite nicely leads us on to that next potential model, I think, isn't it? So we assume... it's going to be the Mini 3, I guess, is probably what it will be. You know, we've had that.
I wouldn't think it'd be anything else.
No, because we've had the Mini, you know, we've had the 2SE and stuff like that. So it's got to be 3, really, hasn't it now? So that hopefully is fairly well set in stone, I'd imagine. So what do we think, Adam? So we'll kick off like we did before with the others, actually, and talk about kind of the sensor. So what are you gonna bet, or what are you going to sort of, what would you like, I suppose?
Yeah, see, I mean, obviously, larger sensor, that's got to be that's got to be taken for granted. Whether they go up to, you know, that 1 over 1.28 inches, that's up for debate. You know, that's a pretty big sensor. And actually, I think we were discussing before we started recording that DJI have got to be careful that they don't overspec the Mini, because of the next aircraft is the Air 2S. And you know, obviously, you don't want it to be too close to that, and the sensor size in the Air 2S isn't big at all, by all means. So if they suddenly put a big sensor onto the Mini 3, that's it for the Air 2. Yeah, they're really gonna have to go much bigger again. I think definitely larger sensor is a given.
Cool, yeah. And we're going to say probably more megapixels, we'd imagine, or maybe not. Maybe they'll just make better use of the ones that are already there, potentially, but
maybe.
Yeah, I mean, guess
I'd say they don't need to go to 50. I think 50 might be a bit overkill, but I would say I would want to about 20 now. I think we're looking at the technology of the Mavic 2, which is 3 years old now. You go, if we can get that technology in the size of the Mini 3... we're looking about right. So I think actually, about 20 megapixels, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, cool. Maybe a slightly wider field of view as well, potentially. So just for people who maybe don't know, and maybe myself included, if you were to have a wider field of view, obviously the wider field, the better, I suppose. But then I guess you're then playing with or having problems with that fisheye problem. Is that why it can't be too wide? Is that kind of the limit, I guess?
Yeah, that's it. So the wider the field of view, you then risk what is called the fisheye effect, where everything starts to look warped around the edges. And this is where you start to see, so as the sensors get bigger, you tend to get this a wider field of view as well. So yeah, they have to strike a nice balance. And that's why most drones are at a wide field of view, but not too fisheye. Although saying that, the Mavic 2 did have a slight fisheye effect, which does then get corrected. And it's usually done in camera, but if you leave it raw, there is that slight warping around the edges. Okay. A wide field of view means that you see more of the image, more of the landscape. A narrow field of view, obviously, is much more restrictive.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, that makes sense. Cool. And then moving on to video-wise then, so I'd assume maybe they'll go to full 4K, do we think then? Not just UHD, Adam?
I think it's 4K is an awkward... It's not an awkward, but it's not a very used aspect ratio because it's slightly narrower than UHD. UHD is 16:9, which is what most, which is the equivalent of what full HD is. Most TVs are 16:9. If you watch something in true 4K, you usually have those bars across the telly. It's much more closer to cinema. So whether we'll get actual 4K, I don't know, but it's something that I'd quite like to see. I would like to see 60 frames per second, up to 60 frames per second in 4K. I think that's a necessity now for most cameras. Most people want that. What, again, I'd like to see, don't think we're going to get it, is 8K. Again, I know that not a lot of people can do it, but, you know, if you really want to push the boat out, go all in, go 8K, even if it's just, you know, up to 30 frames per second.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, phones can do it, so a drone should be able to do it, shouldn't it, as well, in theory.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it. Wider aperture as well, we think, probably.
Seems I think definitely
the way it goes.
Yeah, bigger aperture lets more light in. You know, as we saw, I think I can't remember the exact one. It's 1.9 for the
it was
for the Nano, and then 2.8 was it for the Mini 2? Sounded about right. 2.8 for the Mini 2. So I'd like to see a wider aperture, fixed aperture. Ideally, what I would like is rather than a fixed aperture, is a controllable one. It's not going to happen, but a controllable one I'd love to see. But probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not going to get
that's it. Kind of, that's your wish list coming into play here, isn't it? Yeah, understood. Cool. Obviously then, hopefully, like we've just mentioned, all the standard collision avoidance hopefully will make an appearance as well. And then along with that, we can obviously have auto tracking then potentially too. So at least front obstacle avoidance, I would say, is almost guaranteed, I would have said. But maybe it'll be the full back and front and maybe even sides as well, I suppose. So. Yeah. Again, it is possible, but is it possible under that many grams? I wouldn't know, actually, so we'll wait and see. And then potentially, improved battery life would be a massive bonus. I would say if it can be the same with all of that extra bits and pieces, then that's even better. But maybe it could be improved upon as well, potentially, couldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we're always seeing on each iteration of DJI drones, there's always another few more minutes, you know, there's more tech going in and a few more minutes. So but I would say if Autel can do a 249 gram drone with all this tech, DJI can do it. Whether they have to change whatever they're made for, you know, whatever the plastic composite or the metals or whatever they're using, streaming little bits off here and there, they'll do it.
I think that, for me, would probably be the most interesting part. If I worked in their research development team or something, you know, I think trying to get the longest flight time must be quite exciting, because you must have all these little aircraft and you have to tweak the propellers a little bit, change the motor specifications, you know, add in a slightly bigger battery or, you know, shave a little bit of weight off somewhere and then have it hover in the lab and see, time it, and you're like, oh, is it going to be another 10 seconds? Is it going to be another minute? And, oh, it'd be quite... I imagine, maybe just because I'm a super geek, but I think that would be quite exciting. When you finally get it, you know, that eureka moment where you've matched everything up perfectly, it's, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into it, I should think, to do that. So, so I think that's probably a good place to leave our sort of a wish list or what we think is going to happen with the Mini 3. I guess, I don't know, maybe we'll come back to this episode in 3, 4, 5 months' time and see if past Tom and Adam were correct.
I'd like to say yes for about 50% of the predictions.
I think I'll go with that as well. I think that's a safe bet, isn't it? For sure. Awesome then. So the last part of the episode then is talking about what, if you need an aircraft now, what should you get? Should you get the Mini 2? Should you wait for the Mini 3? Or should you just go all in and get the Nano Plus and kind of leave everyone in the dust? So, I guess, where should we start? I think the biggest thing, I think, for me probably is the price, isn't it, Adam? There's quite a big difference at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Nano Plus is still on a pre-order. It is due sometime in March for the UK customers, especially, I don't know about USA, but in the UK, we're looking sometime in March that people should be receiving them. But there's a big difference in price. £719 for the standard version, so, you know, that is the bare bones.
Wow.
£859 for what they call the premium. Essentially, that is the Flymore combo equivalent of the Mini 2. So a big difference, because I think the Flymore combo with the Mini 2 is £559, something like that.
I think, isn't it?
Give or take a tenner. So, you know, that's a big difference. You know, that's over, £300. Yeah, we're looking at £300 difference there versus the Flymore combo versions. Yes, there is a lot more tech in there. But is it worth the extra £300 for what you get?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we've seen a few people also mention the remote controller doesn't look quite as professional maybe as the DJI series. And I've often thought that when people bring different types of aircraft to their flight tests, they work, they fly, and they do the job very nicely. But when you see them, when you look at the equipment side by side, it's a little bit light. It does feel a little bit more toyish, even though it works. I think it's nice to have something that feels quality and looks a bit more professional. From my point of view, I think DJI have got that kind of nailed quite well. So yeah, that's probably one of the downsides potentially to these other aircraft. Although people have said that actually when they have them, they are actually more solid than they appear in a photograph and stuff like that. So yeah, looks aren't everything, I guess, but you know, it all depends. It's nice to think that you've spent your money on something that's quality, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the controller looks a bit more like a games controller, I think is the best way of describing it. Whereas the DJI ones don't. You know, they just look like a piece of industry controller. Mm. The way they've shaped it, it looks a lot comfortable. Looks a lot more comfortable than perfectly honest. It does look like a controller that you can hold and play with, I suppose. You know, it does look like a games controller.
Yeah.
But whether that comes across as professional on, you know, for people who are flying professionally, I don't know. But yeah, from the reviews that I've read, a few of them have said, you know, you could, they are that solid that you could use it for something that could smash a car window. You know, they might not look it, but it feels it. So that's good. I think that's a good thing.
That's good. That's at the top of my list of things, actually, when I buy a remote controller is, will it smash a car window? Yes, brilliant.
In an emergency, can I use this to smash something?
You never know where you might find yourself, I guess. That is true. So other reports then, people who have got their hands on the aircraft seem to say that actually it's not as good in the wind as maybe they were expecting, potentially. A few software bugs as well, and now, obviously, that's not just for other manufacturers. DJI have their own software bugs, and especially for the Mavic 3, I think there's quite a few of those, unfortunately, which, again, is one of those things I think we seem to get nowadays. They throw everything out, get it into the hands of the customers, and then fix all the problems in firmware along the line, which obviously isn't ideal, but what would you do? Rather get the aircraft or wait for ages? I don't know. So
I think people tend to forget. I don't think there's generally ever been a perfect firmware release. You know,
no.
I mean, actually, I think the Mavic 2 was quite good when that one came out. I don't remember many reports of issues with that one, but I think obviously there was things with the, I think if I remember right, there was things with the Inspire 1 when that came out, but maybe they weren't reported as much because not as many people had them, whereas now they're in a lot more people's hands. There's a lot more people reporting problems where it just looks like there's more issues than there are, but these do get ironed out in firmware.
They do. They're very good at pushing out firmware updates, aren't they, normally, which is always good. So, you know, as long as it's not dangerous, I think that's kind of the most important thing, isn't it, really? So I think, you know, it's the question, isn't it, then, I wonder. So do you get the Nano Plus or do you wait for the Mini 3? I would probably say the Nano Plus trumps the Mavic the Mini 2 at the moment, which isn't really the question. It's should you wait for the Mini 3? So okay, we'll hand it over to you, Adam, to start with. What would you do?
So what would I do? Oh, it's a tricky one, because it always depends on, you know, how much cash you've got to burn. You know, if you've got plenty of cash to burn, you'll just do it. But, you know, let's say the average person who's got to really consider and think about things. So I would say, you know, if you are a diehard DJI fan, if DJI is all you know and you don't want to move, you want the plate safe, hold out. You know what you're going to get. You know the software. You've got your flight logs all kind of in the nice DJI app, unless they switch to another app again. We had that going from Go4 to DJI Fly.
That's right.
So, you know, generally, it's all nice and neat and it's all very familiar. If you're not loyal, but you want the best tech today, if you want, well, as soon as it comes out, if you want the best tech as soon as possible, go for it. You know what? It's a blooming brilliant drone. On paper, we've not flown it.
No.
On paper, it looks amazing for a sub 250 gram drone. But if you're neither, you know, if you're not diehard DJI, if you're not that bothered, I'd hold out. You know, if you're not in a rush, I'd hold out and see what comes out, because it might be when the Mini 3 comes out, whether it's in this year or next year, it might be better, it might not be better. At least then you can make a decision. As it stands today, if you're comparing the Nano Plus versus the Mini 2, the Nano Plus on paper beats the Mini 2. Because we're only speculating over the Mini 3.
Yeah.
You might be better holding out if you're not in a rush.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think very similar. I think if I had the Mini 2, I probably wouldn't worry about it because, yes, the Nano Plus is better, but is it worth kind of jumping ship, learning new stuff, ready for then the Mavic 3? I keep saying Mavic as well now. The Mini 3 and then coming back to DJI. So I would say, you know, like you said, Adam, unless you've got all the money and you buy everything new whenever it comes out, then, you know, you're probably going to buy it anyway. But I would say if you've got the Mini 2, probably hold out. If you've got nothing, that's when it gets a little bit trickier, I guess, really. And it all depends on kind of what you've got, if you've got a drone already, and do you need one that light? And there's lots of things, aren't there, really? It's a bit like anything when you choose. Basically, any small drone that's 250 grams will probably do very well to start with, won't it? If you've never flown one before, you'll think even the old Mavic Mini will be good. You know, I saw one today on a flight test, and yeah, it handled the wind nicely and we took some nice photographs. So, you know, it all depends on your scenario and your situations, I suppose, really, doesn't it? But I think I'd probably wait for the Mini 3 because I think it'll be done well, I think, judging by all the other models and bits and pieces too.
I mean, the other thing to consider is, you know, obviously we've got certified drones should be coming out, touch wood, by the end of the year. You know, so with people that are holding the A2 CFC, you know, hopefully we'll get those C2 certified drones between 900 grams and 4 kilos by then, getting down to 5 meters in a low speed mode. That's going to be pretty game-changing. C1 drones, you know, those are the ones between 250 grams to 900 grams. No intentional overflight of uninvolved people. Again, going to be phenomenal. Once we've got these certified drones on the market...
That's true.
There's not going to be so much this, oh, it's got to be under 250 grams to do absolutely everything.
Yeah, we're focusing on that a lot at the moment because that's really the only way of doing things. Or, no, I shouldn't say that. Not the only way of doing things, but the only way to get closer to things very easily, isn't it? Whereas, yeah, in theory, once these certified drones exist, there's a few different ways then, isn't there? Which is nice, I think, is a good thing to kind of broaden the horizons a little bit, I think, too.
That's it. And for those that are, you know, those that haven't listened to some of the previous episodes, we do have an episode, was it last time? Was it last time? No, it was the one before. Two episodes before this, so it'll be... Episode 33, I think, which is where we talk about the first company that's set up to certify drones in Spain. So, you know, things are happening. Drones will be certified. We're still waiting on the first one set up in the UK, but, you know, from a wider industry, it's happening. You know, keep an eye on things over the next 6 months.
That's it. Yeah. Great. I think that's a good place to leave it as well, Adam. I think there you go. So another good episode under our belts, I think, hopefully for everyone. So what we'll do is we'll just finish off with the standard stuff, really. So the sign off side of things. So again, if you've got any questions, send them in to dronecast@uavhub.com. And again, we'll answer them live on the podcasts. And obviously, if you send in a voice recording, we can actually physically kind of answer your question live as well then too. Subscribe if you haven't already, like we always say. Review the podcast if you don't mind too, and also, like we've always said, tell a friend as well, or tell any family members as well. Anyone who likes drones hopefully will enjoy this podcast as well. So that's it, Adam. So thank you very much. It's been a pleasure once again.
Thank you. It's always good. I do miss Matthew though. I do miss having a third person to give another perspective.
Yeah, that's it. The listeners will just have to put up with our perspectives now.
That's very one-sided or two-sided.
Maybe.
In this case.
Two-sided, that's it. Yeah, we'll have a few more guests on soon, won't we, anyway? So that'll
we've got a few guests lined up that we'll be speaking to, we'll be recording next week. So we should have a few,
March, a few guest speakers.
So come March, should get some guest speakers back on.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, well, there we go then. So the final thing I need to say is obviously fly safe and blue skies, and we'll see you in the next one.